We will pause for a few moments of silent prayer for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Our Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us regarding the passages we're about to note. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We took a look of the within the chapter 12 of the Royal Family Honor Code in the first session. We were able to exhaust it. We'd move in chapter 13 to the Royal Family Honor Code with reference to this divine establishment, at least in the first seven verses. And the first verse reads this way. Again, we're in expanded translations here. All mankind, that includes everyone, subordinate yourselves to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that delegated by God. Those authorities which do exist have been delegated by God. Now, it's extremely important to go back and remember what I told you in the first session. What is the time context here? It is 57 to 58 A.D. The guys that study the historicity of Scripture have nailed it down to approximately that period of time when Paul wrote Romans. Now, he's writing it to the church in Rome. So the question arises when he writes verse 1 here, and he says, for there is no authority except that delegated by God. Who do the people in the Roman church think of when that is recited to them? Well, it's the current emperor whose name is Nero. Now, there were a lot of bad emperors in the first century. Augustus was pretty good. But as you move to the rest of them, they're not good at all. You have Tiberius and Claudius and then Nero and others. Finally, you have the Antonines emerge about the time John completed the New Testament. And from there on, you had almost a century of the Antonine Caesars, and their approach to the society allowed the incipiency of Christianity to blossom throughout the empire. So that's an extremely important thing to note for our current circumstance politically. Nobody is in a position of power that Jesus Christ doesn't write off on, and there are reasons for it. We have lost the thought in this country. Only the loss of thought could bring us to our present crisis. Never would we have approved of such madness in the years before, because there was enough doctrinal orientation circulating in the souls of those of the electorate that would never have bought into the multiplicity of lies that have been sold to the benighted of this country presently. Therefore, what are we to gather from this? We richly deserve the leadership we have. As a people, we have failed. As a people, we've rejected the Word of God. And as a result, we've absorbed the lie and now act upon it. And he is telling us today, as he told the believers in Rome in the first century, these people were written off by Jesus Christ. They have no authority that it wasn't approved of from above. So therefore, let me tell you this, that when there is a circumstance that arises in a client nation where poor leadership is destroying the freedom of everyone, then the believers in that society have to draw this conclusion. We are in historical downtrend. We have lost the thought and we're headed toward national disaster. The only solution, the only exit visa that we have is that we would do our duty. Jesus Christ will somehow restore order in this country if, A, we stay out of the way and let him do his job. And in the meantime, grow in grace. We, as the body of Christ, have obligations to live our lives as was exemplified in the first chapter we noted this morning, which was Romans 12. Can we do that? I'm looking at Michael Modere, visiting here from somewhere in Illinois. I don't remember where. I saw his daughter sitting at the table by herself, abandoned. I said, Vivian, how are you, sweet pie? And she smiled and said, fine. I said, I know that your parents must be around here somewhere. Well, about 10 feet away was Michael. He has related to me some of the most brilliant rationales and therefore regulations that are now being exercised in the United States military. I mean, I cannot imagine where we would be without the brilliance of these people. How can we go on without them? So they're in positions of authority. Who are the people that head up the four branches of the military? Well, they're there because of the system that the thought patterns of this country have put in charge. And boy, I'm telling you, he has been up to something when he put these people in charge. He is really thinking forward toward disaster. Nero was the emperor. And I'm asking you this. If you have studied your history, and we've done some Neronian studies in the past, he is the pro. The guy we've got is Bush League Class A bench. So if you think times are hard now, take a look at what Paul is requiring of the believers in the city of Rome in 58 A.D. Subordinate yourselves to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that delegated by God. Those authorities which do exist have been delegated by God. What does that mean for us? Orient and adjust. Priority one, move forward with the Word of God. We are the ace in the hole for client nation America. The military can't do it anymore. They have been defanged. The people who run the country consider themselves the anointed, but they are those who believe themselves wise, but rather are fools. Principle of aristocracy, number 17. Submit to the authority of duly elected officials. Oh, but they're corrupt. There's not a footnote at Romans 13:1. There's not a footnote that says, except Nero. I'm not talking about Nero. I'm talking about the good guys. Verse 2, therefore, those who resist the authority of laws of divine establishment, have opposed the ordinance of God. In fact, those who oppose shall receive punishment upon themselves. Listen to me. Jesus Christ controls history. He has the circumstance before us. He's allowed this to occur. It's not good. So the question would arise, where is our Lord? Is He in the game or not? Who is it, therefore, that will step forward to restore order to the Commonwealth? There is no one. The debate now is who's going to run for the presidency in 16. It doesn't matter. Have you ever been at a Thanksgiving dinner and somebody stuck a fork in the turkey? That's where we are. The fork has been stuck, and we've been found wanting. Now, what is it that those who are associated with Jesus Christ, brothers of Christ, royal family, aristocrats, what is it that we can do for client nation America? Sit here on your spotted bottoms and grow in grace. That's what. Christ will honor that. And you stay out of His way. Blood's going to flow, figuratively speaking, at some point. He will not put up with this for the long haul. We have to have a winnowing of the chaff. And He's the one that does that. He's the only one qualified. So do not become dismayed. Do not become discouraged. Do not become someone who's involved in some kind of crusade. You will not accomplish anything, but remove yourself from the focus that is required for the solution. For governmental authorities are not a cause for fear, for moral function, meaning observance of the laws of divine establishment, but for evil function. Really, Do you desire not to fear the authority? Then keep on doing good, meaning obeying the law, and you will have recognition from it. Principle of aristocracy, number 18, law-abiding citizens acquire a good name in the community. What if I don't agree with the law, you ask? You don't have the prerogative. You must obey the law. Like you take the speed limit on 364. It's 60. And I've learned from various law enforcement people that they don't want to bother you at just 10 over. There's not enough money involved. They wait 3 or 4 minutes and they get somebody at 75. But I went 70 as I've done all my life on 364 and they stopped me the other day. I was appalled. I've gone by those guys holding guns on me and they ignored me. I mean the speed gun. They were not pointing like a... It was not that bad. But. So this time, this guy in like a regular car with things inside the grill going like that, like a sneaky kind of a guy, had no integrity. So he pulls me over, and he comes up to the window, and I lower the window. He comes up, he says, "Seems to me that going 70 in a 60-mile zone means that you want to get a speeding ticket." And I said, yes, sir, it does look, that's exactly what I have done. He said, "Well, the speed limit's 60, so hold it down." I said, yes, sir, I will. I will do it, yes, sir. And he went away. Now, I don't know why. I think people have been going really fast out there and they've decided to scare people. He didn't scare me. He didn't, because I knew what was going on. They're trying to pull everybody down out there. I do 70 and people go by me like I'm sitting still. So that's who they're after. So everybody has to be given a little checkpoint, Charlie. Now, I'm asking you this. When you go too fast on the highway, which is what I do a lot, I never go the speed limit. And I admit to it. And I've talked to lawyers. If somebody say, "Well, you're out of fellowship when you go 1 mile over, you're out of fellowship. You cannot be a good pastor if you do that." Well, I've talked to the lawyers and I've talked to the police people and I've said, "Tell me about this speed limit thing." And they say, "It's sort of a window. You know, that's where we're like for people to be in that neighborhood, you know. When you get past the neighborhood, then that's when we step in." And I thought, no, that's not it. When you get too far past the neighborhood, that's where the money is. Like when I went 26 miles over the speed limit in the work zone. Now that was, I would misbehave that day. So submit to the authority of duly elected officials. When the man came up to the window, it's, "Yes, sir, whatever you said, I deserve it richly." And he went away. Some people want to argue with them. That is the worst thing you can do, even in Arkansas. If you go 10 over in Arkansas, they say you're 20 over down there. And then you have to conversate them down to what you really were doing. So look, if you would just write me up 10 over, I'd appreciate it, because, you know, I don't need my insurance to go up that high. And they say, "Well, okay." Which is exactly what the little meter read. It read 80, and he said I was doing 90. That happened to me twice in Arkansas. So my advice to you, do not speed in Arkansas. They are mean people down there. For governmental authorities are not the cause of fear for moral function, but for evil function. Really, do you desire not to fear the authority? Keep doing good, and you will receive recognition from it. Law-abiding citizens acquire a good name in the community. Verse 4, for he is a minister of God. Woe! The elected official is a minister of God. Not only that, those who work in association with government are ministers of God. Is that not creepy? Does that creep you out? IRS people? For he is a minister of God to you for the purpose of good. But if you do evil, Keep on being afraid, for he does not wear the sword for nothing. That's capital punishment if necessary right there. It was the sword that decapitated Paul. He is a minister of God for the purpose of divine wrath to him who practices evil. So they're there to enforce law. And you say, what if they're corrupt? Then that shows simply that you're in a historical downtrend. Best policy, look, the best time to use doctrine, if you can use this as an illustration, is when there is poor leadership. If it's corrupt, you really need to stick to your knitting. If it's corrupt, you had better be very conscious of observing every jot and tittle of the law. For this reason, it is necessary to be subordinate to governing authorities, not only because of punishment, but also because of your conscience. So for this reason also, keep on paying taxes. It didn't say if you thought they were too high. It didn't say if they had converted some kind of a fee into a tax so that they could then compound your tax payment. Pay your taxes. If you understand that it's not about health care, it's about transfer of wealth, then you understand what's going on. For you see, they are public servants of God for them who make a career out of such a thing. Therefore, discharge your obligations to all, to whom taxes, taxes. To whom custom, custom. To whom respect, respect. To whom honor, honor. Principle of aristocracy number 19. Pay your income taxes. Pay your sales taxes. Give respect to duly elected officials. Honor the judge, the policeman, and the military officer. Stay within the system of establishment is what this is saying. Regardless of who's in charge, Jesus Christ is keeping tabs. You do not have to worry about injustice. He's keeping tabs. You say, well, what if I'm a victim of this? You're not the first one out of the gate to have that problem. How you use doctrine under pressure becomes the issue. We have a man in our church who was placed in a situation where he was incarcerated. Generally, you think that's not a good thing. But then he began to teach doctrine to those who were incarcerated with him. And now he has a huge ministry within prisons and jails throughout this area, several states involved. Taking a sow's ear and turning it to a silk purse, I think they say. So if you're in the situation, make the most of it. Realize you're in an environment that God put you there. Capitalize on that. Decide how you can use the Word of God not only for your own benefit, but for that of others. And that's what Gary did. It paid magnificent dividends for the royal family. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another of the same kind, meaning fellow believers. For when he loves the other believer with a different personality, he has fulfilled the law. That would apply at a family reunion. Principle of aristocracy number 20. Be tolerant of others, other believers, at a different level of spiritual growth or who have an unfortunate personality. We don't like to orient and adjust to people that somehow irritate us for whatever reason. But the principle here is it's none of your business unless they're your children. Children have very unfortunate personalities. And so that's why they need parents, you know, to sort of mold that to something different, acceptable for a period of time, except age 13. You find out what their trends are at age 13. You know, you get ready for what's coming down the pike. Oh, it's that, is it? So then you orient to that, and then you start trying to guide through that. But when it comes to grown people, regardless of who they are, you have to understand everybody has their failings, their foibles, their lust patterns. Everybody's got this. And you're not going to be able to change it.
These are grown people, so you can't change it. What are you going to do? Leave it in the hands of the Lord. That's all. All of this is getting around to saying, get humble, have a little bit of doctrinal orientation, and remember that Jesus Christ knows every thought, decision, and action of every person in eternity past, and He has addressed those decisions in the divine decree, and you can mess with that by intervening. Leave it alone. Be tolerant of other believers at a different level of spiritual growth or who have an unfortunate personality. Now let's note the word tolerance. Indulgence for beliefs or practices different or conflicting from one's own. And we've studied that recently, and the definition of the verb to tolerate is as follows. To allow or permit, to not interfere with, to recognize and respect others' beliefs and practices without necessarily agreeing or sympathizing. People have a right to be wrong. Are you the police officer that corrects everybody who's wrong in your view? There are a lot of behavior patterns today that Jesus Christ is not going to put up with. If you leave that alone, He'll deal with it. But in the meantime, we have to suffer whatever the ramifications are. I have learned, for example, that we are soon going to have women in SEAL training. We need video of that. We're going to have, every time a ship disembarks out of a port, 50-50 men and women. What are those that are serving active duty going to do? They're going to say, yes, sir. Why would they say yes, sir, without one whimper? Orient to authority. The guys on high said, we're going to do this. So let's do it. Christ will take care of it. That dog will not hunt. They're very upset. Get a load of this, y'all. The people, the hierarchy of our military, are very upset that there are sexual relations going on between the men and the women in the armed services. Who would have thought? I'm shocked. Shocked. For instance, this. You will not commit adultery. You will not murder. You will not steal. You will not give false witness in court, which means perjury. You will not lust. And if there is any other kind of commandments, it is epitomized in this principle, namely, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10. Love does not produce evil to its neighbors. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's the legal code, Codex 1. You respect the life, privacy, and property of the individual. So love does not produce evil to its neighbors. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Principle of aristocracy, number 21. By allowing others the right to their life, their privacy, and their property, you have, as a result, loved them unconditionally to the same degree that you love yourself. Verse 11, also do this. Understanding the present period of time, namely the church age, that it is already time for you to wake up from your sleep, which is ignorance of the word, also apathy. For now our deliverance, namely the rapture, is nearer than when we first believed. Verse 12, the night is far gone. In other words, we're deep into the church age. And the day is approaching, namely the rapture. Therefore, let us lay aside the works of darkness, namely good and evil, and let us put on the armor of light, which is the word of God. Verse 13, let us walk honorably in the daytime, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in fornication and lasciviousness, not in strife and discord or jealousy. Principle of aristocracy, number 22. Abstain from heavy drinking leading to drunkenness. Abstain from extramarital sexual activity which leads to libertarianism. Abstain from quarrelsome arguments leading to discord. Abstain from zealousness motivated by jealousy. There's a big package there coming from those three verses. libertinism, one who is unrestrained by convention or morality, it comes from a Latin word that means freedom, which means unrestrained sin nature. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and stop making provision for your flesh, that's the old sin nature, because of its lust patterns. And then the first three verses of chapter 14. Now accept that one who is weak in doctrine, not for the purpose of getting into quarrels about opinions. Accept the person who's weak in doctrine. Why quarrel about opinions? They don't have the spiritual inventory to deconstruct that concept that they verbalized. So they need spiritual growth. So to get in an argument over that. For on the one hand, one person believes that he may eat all things, while on the other hand, another, because of weakness, eats only vegetables. So you don't make fun of the vegans. I think that's what they call themselves. They just eat cabbage. Personally, I think that if God did not want us to eat animals, He would not have made them out of meat. And so there's nothing better than good fillet mignon and some good red wine, some little green peas and okra, cornbread. That's a well-balanced diet. But we have to understand that some people have different opinions, and that's fine. They're called vegans, I think. They only eat vegetables. It says here they're weak. I didn't say that. It said here. Now listen what your attitude should be. He who eats, let him stop treating with contempt him that does not eat. Furthermore, he who does not eat, stop judging that one who eats everything, for God has accepted him too. Principle of aristocracy number 23. Be flexible about the non-essentials. Be inflexible about the essentials. It's a non-essential what people eat. None of your business. Now, of course, the doctor may say, you have got to quit eating nuclear waste. It's going to kill your body. You know, so whatever he defines as bad for you, you shouldn't eat. And if he says, you need to eat more carrots, then you need to get some more carrots. I mean, there's flexibility here. But with regard to judging or discerning what another person's doing, it's none of your business if they don't want to eat nothing but carrots. And it's none of your business if all he wants to eat is pork chops. I mean, it's their business. So you're not the food police, as is apparently. That's what the governor of New York, the mayor of New York, thinks he's the food police. But only for what you drink and the number of ounces that you drink. God only has one way of doing a thing, and that is the right way. Submission to both the positive and negative mandates of the Scriptures ensures such behavior on the part of the believer. Now, we cannot leave this study without mention of the gentleman. We've done the let's call it the behavior pattern of the gentleman today. We can't leave that study without reviewing the definition given in the 17th century by a British pastor named Thomas Fuller. And this comes from his writings called The Holy State and the Profane State. And we'll see what he has to say about the true gentleman next Sunday. Remember, I told you that we don't have midweek classes. Too much is going on inside the house. So I'll see you next Sunday, and we'll talk about gentlemen again. Now, Father, thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying these things today. We do understand that these principles of aristocracy are very demanding for individuals who have a sinful nature. We want to strike out. We want to fix things. We want to inform people of their wrongdoings. We want to make clear that they are making bad decisions affecting us individually. But all of these things are part of the hostile environment of the devil's world. You control history through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to learn to stay out of His way while we make ourselves busy learning Your Word and the correct way to apply its doctrines as members of Your royal family. Encourage us toward that objective. And we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. charis human kai rene, plethunthae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.